Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome into the NBA Morning Deuce for Wednesday, April 7th, Alex. We're already 7 days into April.
Unbelievable. Getting closer to the playoffs.
So close to the playoffs. So close to the playoffs. Good slate of Tuesday night games. Fun games. A couple games still going on as we're recording. The Clippers, who I think we will talk a little bit about tonight, because they're just one of the most fascinating cases for an NBA team that we've seen. We were texting about it. We talk about it all the time, but I think it's worth continuing to talk about because it's just such a weird situation. Plus, they're only up 9 with 10 minutes left. So we'll see how that ends up. They were up by a lot over Portland. A bunch of other games. Your Sixers look good. The Heat look really bad. The Warriors are losing to Milwaukee without Giannis. So a lot to get to. But first, I tweeted you about this earlier. I had an interesting Twitter interaction today.
Yeah, what happened?
So I'm going to say the guy's name. So there's this NBA writer named Spencer Davies, and he works for basketballnews.com, which is a relatively new basketball site, but has become pretty popular. They have some former players working for them, whatever. He did a feature on Toby and Bobby and Toby, however you want to say it, whichever order. What order do you say it?
Usually Toby and Bobby, because
Tobias I say Toby and Bobby too, but I think he put Bobby and Toby. But anyways, I don't know if you've seen they have a new commercial together.
Of course, I've seen it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, of course,
fantastic. Yeah,
right. So that's the thing I can guarantee. Like, I can ask you about a million other things, but if it comes to Bobby and Toby or Toby and Bobby, I know you're in.
Yeah, I'm in. Yeah.
So he wrote a feature about it, but he tweeted out about the feature. Like, I guess he interviewed either both of them or just Boban or whatever. I haven't read the article yet. I'm going to read it because I'm very interested in it. And it was like a quote that basically Boban basically said something like along the lines of that they're like his relationship with Tobias is like the relationship with his wife. They're that close, but different. It's just like a funny thing you would expect. But then his last line in the tweet was my feature on the infamous Bobby and Toby. And so immediately I was just like, infamous? That doesn't seem like that's not the right word. Like, it can't be the right word, right? Because I was going to start the show off being like, we haven't had a word that I don't understand or don't know in a while. So let's talk about the word infamous. So my immediate thought was like, do I not know what infamous means? Or is there like the, is there a different definition? So I just quote tweeted it and I was like, infamous? Question mark.
Yeah.
Turns out responds and goes, he goes, yep. What do you say? Said something like, yep. Wrong definition in my thesaurus or something like that. And deleted the tweet.
So he acknowledged it.
Yeah, no, it was funny. I was just like, it's weird. Like a lot of writers would get really defensive and try to like justify it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He wrote, yep, didn't use my thesaurus correctly on that one with the hand hitting in the face emoji. And I was like, hey, happens to the best of us. Looking forward to reading the article because I love these guys.
Yeah.
And then he responded, yep, I deleted it since I tweeted it out multiple times today. Thanks.
Wow. So he really must have just had something mixed up, like a word that he meant in the place of infamous.
But I respect that he was just like, yep.
Yeah, it's
pretty funny. I fucked up because I know a lot of writers who would be like, no, man, this, I meant it this way. And because I did kind of call him. I felt bad afterwards. So I was like, I did kind of call him out for fucking up.
Mm-hmm.
But also, basketballnews.com, guys, like, check your people. Like, someone at that website has to have seen that tweet and been like, that doesn't,
infamous doesn't make sense.
Or like text, like, if you know, like, if here's the thing, if it was you, like, if I knew Spencer Davies, I would text him and be like, hey, dude, infamous? I don't get it. And then it wouldn't have been public, but I don't know him. So it was public.
Now, I'm sure he's not losing any sleep over it.
No, but, for him. Yeah. I mean, the good thing for him is I have like 300 followers on Twitter. So it means nothing. Mm-hmm. So it ultimately it works out well for him. Yeah. And we follow each other, and maybe we'll have him on the pod to talk about this feature. Cause it's probably pretty cool.
Yeah. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, that was my,
what a cordial discourse.
You know, rare for Twitter. Could have gone the complete opposite way.
Yeah.
And I will read that article sometime in the next day or so, because it is those guys. I about four three probably 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, I met, I working at my at C, when I was at CBS, I was booking, and I was pretty close with one of the PR reps for the agency that Boban is with, and I used to talk to her all the time about how they got to do more, like they got to do more. And I was just like, I had an idea, I guess, I forgot where Tobias Harris was playing, but Boban, I think Boban was like, they were pretty close to each other, like a train ride away from each other city-wise. I forgot what the situation was. And my thought was like, what if we put Boban on a train and just filmed him on a train going to reunite with Tobias Harris? Like, wouldn't
really
that be
good imagery?
Like, wouldn't it be an incredible show? Or just something like them like traveling on a train trip together, like just the hijinks that ensue. Like, there's so much possibilities for those guys because they're incredible.
Yeah, I do think when they're retired, like when they have more free time, something pretty great will blossom out of that because it's so fascinating.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris is like a really interesting guy. And then Boban, for obvious reasons.
Well, the whole thing does hinge on Boban, and also just like the odd couple.
Yeah, exactly. The odd couple thing.
But
and then like goldfish.
This was like years. I mean, obviously, I don't think I'm the only one who ever looked at Boban and listened to him and was like, oh, this guy's got huge potential. But it was a long time ago. I was just like, man, what can we do? And unfortunately, where I was before, they didn't really, there was no like juice around NBA content. So, and he's a lot bigger now in terms of like name recognition than he was then. But man, I wish I could. I mean, it's not out of the question.
Yeah.
I would still love to do something with that guy because he is awesome. Have you seen his food show or whatever that he does?
No, I didn't even. I've been meaning to watch.
Oh, it's called like Boban on the Goban or something like that.
Oh, God.
It's hilarious. It's so good.
What is it, YouTube?
I might have been connected with like Vice or something like that.
Okay.
The Goban. Yeah, it's called Boban on the Goban. Oh no, it's the Players Tribune. First episode, Boban Marjanovic visits the State Fair of Texas.
It's a must watch right there.
It's only 4.5 minutes. So yeah, it's pretty good.
And the, I feel like I remember the intro being very entertaining, like him saying like Bovon on the Govon.
Am I missing something with that title, or is it just goofy?
Like, no, it's just they were just trying to rhyme with Bovon. Okay.
Like Govon isn't a thing, right?
No, Govon's not a thing.
I think they were, like, is that a food or what?
No. I think they literally were like on the go. Let's just rhyme it with Govon or with Bovon because it's funny.
I like it.
Yeah, it was. I'm a big fan of it. Big fan of it. All right, let's talk about Tuesday night's games, and let's just go ahead and start with the Sixers.
Yeah, all right. Tobias Harris, roll right in there.
There we go. And tall people.
Yeah, yeah. And
tall people. Yeah, Tobias.
One of the tallest.
Tobias did not play great, but I think without I wasn't fully focused on this game the way you probably were, because I was watching the Heat game and I was watching the Hawks Pelicans game. I was watching like three games at once. But my impression of this game was that when the Sixers are fully healthy, they are just on a different level than the Celtics this year, which you wouldn't have expected at the beginning of the season. But the Celtics played pretty good a couple games ago or last game, and they're fully healthy for this, other than Tristan Thompson, which is a huge thing, apparently.
It really is, and that's a concern in and of itself.
But it just seems to be that, especially, I mean, Embiid had 20 free throws in for 35. They're just at a different level than the Celtics right now. And it's not like, I mean, it sucks for the Celtics, but that's not, I think you could look at it, and if you're a Celtics fan, you'd be concerned. I wouldn't be concerned that they're like not a playoff level team after this type of game, but I would be concerned that like, they have no shot to compete the way they're currently constructed in the East.
Yeah, 100%. And this is a game I feel myself getting so excited about the Sixers team. Like, I feel like I've been pretty reserved all year long in my excitement.
Yeah.
But, like, they're just putting together, like, a special defensive season. Everyone's bought in. Doc Rivers has them playing their asses off on defense. So that was probably the most exciting thing. Celtics had 20 turnovers. A lot of it was because of good defense, you know, but the Celtics didn't play well at all. And yeah, like you said, this is a horrible matchup for this is like one of those things in terms of a matchup. I don't think it could be worse for the Celtics because they can't stop a dominant big. They just can't right now. Tristan Thompson might be able to address that a little bit, but like Luke Cornette was on the floor and he genuinely, it looked like the Olympics when like there's like Dwight Howard's playing against somebody from Croatia, you know, like it doesn't look right. That's how Luke Cornette looks against Embiid.
Charles Barkley playing against Angola.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know Angola, but Angola is in trouble.
So the fact that that dude, Cornette, I mean, he got 15 minutes tonight. They dusted Taco Fall off for 9 minutes. So
that was
great. Basically, if this team, I think they're going to make the playoffs, but if they end up going against a dominant big, there's not many, but they're going to get smoked because their bigs are horrible. And as good as Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are, I don't think they can get it done against a team like that. So
yeah, well, particularly because the defense and Ben Simmons in particular, just like Tatum didn't have a bad game, but he did seem like he didn't have a bad game. He didn't shoot well from three, but he was just not
efficient. Yeah.
He seemed out of the flow of the offense because every time I turned to the game, he was being guarded by Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. Harder for him to get the ball and then harder for him to get off when he got the ball. And then also every time I turned to watch the game, it looked like Marcus Smart was turning the ball over.
Yeah, well, yeah, he had six of them. And I think he actually had a couple, like one more that wasn't credited to him because you'd messaged me about how many turnovers he had. And then he immediately like dropped a pass through his hands that I don't even think was credited to him, but he's in a bad stretch, like mistake wise, I guess. Mm-hmm. He's not playing well for them. He's playing hard and good defensively, but recently when I've seen him, the Celtics just look off. They look totally off, and it's weird for a Brad Stevens team. It's weird for a team with two stars.
But that's the thing though. They looked off in this game, but they didn't look off last game, which is why to me, it's more of a signal that the Sixers are, when they're healthy, are just that much better of a team.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that could be totally on point. The last game against the Hornets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole different type of matchup. So it really might come down to matchup.
But also the Hornets. didn't have Hayward or LaMelo, but the Hornets are a low-level playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
The Sixers are among three teams right now that have totally asserted themselves as not even close, the three best teams in the East, and then it's everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's starting to look more and more like maybe like looking like the Celtics are not going to get back to that level. And I mean, the Heat played like shit tonight, and the Heat, it remains to be seen how the Oladipo thing goes. And then everybody else is kind of, that's it.
Yeah.
Just right? Meh. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think we are ready to give up on the Heat, which we will talk about. I'm ready to give up on the Celtics as a competitor in the East this year.
Yeah. They would take like a special run for them, right, to win the, yeah, like
which we've seen, ridiculous, which we've, right, seen, but this is a different Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't think there's any other team that you would legitimately be like, oh, other than the Heat going on another one of these crazy runs because of how good they can be defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it with the Celtics, which is those were probably the five teams coming into the year that you were like, all right, they have a shot in the East.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Disappointing to say the least for that team.
Super disappointing. I mean, no, I was Fournier, so high on
that. I don't think that would have mattered. I think Fournier would have mattered. Probably not, right?
Not
he wouldn't game, stop no. Embiid, I mean, from getting 35 and going to, right, the line 20 times.
And it was a 10-point, like Sixers won by 10, but this was essentially a blowout. The right. Celtics actually shot really well, so that's why it was this close. So
yeah. I also, like, I saw that Embiid had that ridiculous step back.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I saw people being like, how do you guard this? And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, that's how you guard it.
Yeah, that's a win for your defense.
Yeah, if Embiid's taking that shot, you let him take that shot 100 times, he makes, mm-hmm, it once. Like, it's not, yeah, a good shot. It was a crazy shot.
But it was awesome. But it was a point in the game where he was essentially fucking around, and it's good Twitter fodder. But yeah, that's
for
not,
sure.
That's, yeah, not like what you want.
No, it's just like, what's happening here? But it's a good dominant win for the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
And Embiid's just a beast. He's just a monster. Still 1 for 5 from 3, but I guess you take it if he's going to go to the line 20 times.
Yeah.
I guess we could talk. I guess if we're talking about Boston, Philly, we could talk about the Heat. It's the only other.
Yeah, let's go there.
Terrible game. This is one of the worst games I've seen the Heat play. And it was weird because offensively, they actually weren't bad. All right. Actually, I shouldn't say it. They struggled tonight guarding a Memphis team that seemingly had their best 3-point shooting game of the season. And so defensively, it was one of their worst outings I've seen just in terms of guarding the 3-point line. That being said, the villain had 23 points in the third quarter.
Oof.
Like, how you're not winning that. Like, this team is, I want to say, 26th in the league and made in threes made a game. They're like 23rd in 3-point percentage. They went 17 of 41. And some of that is on the Heat's rotations. Like Bam said after the game, you know, we struggled with our rotations. We were getting out slow. We need to be better. But Spoelstra was like, he's like, yeah, I think some of it is game. He's like, I don't think a ton of that's game plan. He's like, not to take anything away from what Memphis did, but we're not going to like reinvent the wheel here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think that was his way of saying like, hey, Dylan Brooks had 23 points in the third quarter. Like, what are we supposed to do?
Right. Yeah.
You know?
And he probably, I mean, I feel like if this was a 7-game series, I'd lean Heat.
Well, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I think Memphis the positive shot here, if you're the Heat, like this is first, and I don't want this to be just about the Heat. I just tend to, because I focus on what the Heat are doing, but Memphis, it's a great win for Memphis because they're fighting for the East and it's a tough win. And anytime they can score 124 points, it's huge for them. Ja Morant got hurt at the end of the game. I don't know if it's bad. We'll see. But, you know, shooting the ball well, that's huge for them. Also, Jonas is just like, I mean, I think Eric Reed must have called him a big burly center like 7 times on the broadcast. Just kept calling him a big burly man.
That's accurate. Yeah.
He was unstoppable in the first half. Just unstoppable. Like the Heat could do nothing with him, which is concerning for the Heat, I would say. And Ja Morant didn't even have that great of a game. So it's even a bigger win for them. I would say, like, for the Heat, on a positive note, the offense is starting to look better. Cause normally, if a team scores 124 against the Heat, it's a blowout because the Heat can't score.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a positive. Duncan Robinson continued to just be on absolute fire. And Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler look great, but I just the thing for me with this is they got to win the next game, because their whole thing this year has been like win 5 in a row, lose 6 in a row, win 4 in a row, lose 3 in a row, like come back and win the next game.
Yeah, like, who do they have coming up?
The Lakers on Thursday.
Oh, so
but you know what I mean? It's like prove that the moves at the deadline made you a more consistent, better team.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't freak out about this kind of loss.
Was this Trevor Ariza's first game, or has he been?
No. He's been playing for a minute. Yeah. He's been playing really good too.
Okay. Cause I just see he's 0-for-5. Like, it's just, I'm assuming it's just a bad game, but they just, I mean, it's one game, but it just feels like this 4 spot has been a nuisance for them.
He's been good though. Like, I think he's going to be fine. They signed Dwayne Dedmon today. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that means, like, because they've been playing Bielitsa as their backup 5. I don't know if that means that we'll see. Dedmon's been hurt. So we'll see if Dedmon becomes the backup 5 and Bielitsa is more of a natural 4. So he becomes the backup 4. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, the 4 is going to be a question for them. But I think Ariza, the way up until today with the shooting, he brings exactly what Jay Crowder brought to that team. I really think that's
big then. Yeah.
The Heat are not going to give up 124 points very often. So I didn't glean anything from this game.
Yeah. Probably you just write it off then, because you know they're going to be excellent defensively come the playoffs. So yeah, the Jaw thing though, I didn't know he got hurt. Because this team stinks without Jaw, or they had a horrible stretch when he went down, and just with how tight things are, that could be big.
I don't remember what it was, but I remember seeing him leave the floor. I don't think he was bad, but yeah, I don't know.
Keep an eye on that. Yeah.
I don't see a lot of people talking about it on Twitter either. So it must not have been bad. It's worth keeping an eye on, because you're right. They're awful without him. Like awful, awful. I mean, unless the villain can just have another 20, can keep having 23 point court. I guess I should say it's Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
Just for that people.
Hasn't entered the mainstream yet.
Just for people who are new, because there are some new, probably some new listeners since I introduced the villain Dylan Brooks as a name.
That part's important. It's not Dylan the villain Brooks. It is the villain, comma, Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, it's the villain Dylan Brooks. So great win for Memphis. Not really. I wouldn't be concerned. I know how people on Twitter, like I know how fans are. They look at a game like this like, ugh. All right, we're terrible again. I think it's just the way I was watching that game, I was like, God, these guys, they were making open threes, Memphis, but they were making some shots. I'm just like, good God. Like, I don't care how open you are. I wouldn't allow Dylan Brooks to take all those shots and have 23 in the third. Like, if it means that John Morant's not having a good game, you take those odds, you know?
Kind of live with it, yeah.
And I'm assuming that's what the game plan was like, limit John Morant, make everyone else beat you, and they did. So it's good for them. That won't happen regularly.
Yeah.
All right. Elsewhere in the league, Denver, man. Jeez. Like, you know, they played Detroit tonight, so they're supposed to win 134-119. But it's hilarious. They've won 6 in a row now. There's already the people saying like, oh man, if the Lakers don't get right, this team's going to the finals. Like immediately people are like writing them in. This team's going to the finals if the Lakers aren't right, which they're not wrong. They might.
I mean, that's realistic. Yeah. To me, that's realistic.
Well, they're not necessarily wrong, but okay. Like, hey, Phoenix is still very good. Utah is still playing good. We're going to talk about the Clippers. They're not a bad team. So it's so reactionary because they've won 6 in a row. I'd probably pick them if the Lakers aren't right, but still it's pretty quick to just lay that out there.
Right. Definitely not a write in. I mean, these playoffs are going to be so fantastic, but I love what they're doing. This is what we expected them to do all year. Like, we were super high on them going into the season, and they got off to like a sluggish start. Right. So this is kind of where we expected them to be.
Jamal Murray didn't play, which I guess doesn't matter when you're playing against the Pistons. But I mean, the biggest thing is since they got Aaron Gordon, they're a top 10 defense in the NBA, which is, I think, what everyone was just been the biggest thing since they lost Jeremy Grant, is replacing that wing defender. He's taking the challenge. He only took 4 shots in this game.
That's huge for if he like if he can just transition into that like very high end role player, that'd be really ideal for them. Because that's what he like. Aaron Gordon's never going to be the best player on a great team in my mind, you know. But he could absolutely be a role player on a championship team. I think
100%. He's only 25, dude. Yeah. Like we truly, I don't think. I mean, maybe now we're going to see it. But we truly never saw what he could put. Possibly be in Orlando because they were never good while he was there.
Actually, a very similar arc to Tobias Harris, possibly. Just in like Tobias Harris got out of Orlando and you found out what he was and
with a higher upside because Aaron Gordon's an absolute freak.
Yeah.
Right. He could be a defensive player of the year type. I mean, athletic.
I didn't know. I mean, I actually didn't know he was that highly regarded defensively.
No. I just mean athletically.
Okay.
If he can put it together defensively, if he could do what Jeremy Grant did for this team defensively with his athleticism, he could guard anyone in the league.
Yeah, that's huge. That's a great, great trade for them.
Yeah, they gave up nothing. I guess, I mean, we'll see what RJ Hampton turns into, but really they gave up a protected first round pick, Gary Harris and RJ Hampton for a 25-year-old former top 10 pick who has unlimited upside. It's huge. It's huge. It's a championship type trade potentially for them.
Yes.
I was thinking about that while I was watching.
Definitely them recognizing windows, you know, like Jokic is in a championship window for right now. So just go.
Yep. Michael Porter had 25. He was 3-for-4 from three. So it continues to be one of the best 3-point shooters in the league that no one's talking about. Like literally, have you seen anybody other than us talking about how elite his shooting is this year?
No, and
I don't see anyone talking about it.
Yeah, it's probably because of how amazing Jokic has been. Like,
yeah,
I think he's just super underrated right now. I think that'll change in the playoffs if they're as good as we think they are.
That's true because they're a great team right now, and they're never on national TV, and no one gets to watch them. So, all these people who are obsessed with Jokic are probably mostly looking at box scores,
right,
and highlights. It's a good point. But if you are looking at box scores, you should notice that since the All-Star break, Michael Porter Jr. has been kind of dominant.
He's been awesome. Really, and great. And that's probably a huge part of the 6-game win streak, like, and how hot they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's the thing in the past. Will Barton had 24 in this game, which is good. I mean, they played Detroit. But in the past, if Jamal Murray doesn't play or if he plays bad, this team loses. Now, if Jamal Murray doesn't play or plays bad, they have Michael Porter Jr. It's huge. That's like getting a trade. That's like they traded for a friend, like one of the best scorers in the league in this offseason just by getting him into the starting rotation, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. I don't want to say they could beat the Lakers, but man, they'd give any team fits right now. It seems like
they can beat the Lakers if one of LeBron or AD is,
you got to wonder, wonder though, at their peak, the way they're playing, could they just beat the Lakers?
If they played their best series.
I just mean, like, matchup-wise, I look at Utah, I'm like, no shot. I look at Phoenix, and I'm like, I love Phoenix, what they've done this year. I don't think they can do it. I don't think they could beat the Lakers. I look at Denver, and I'm just like, man, they're so loaded. 1-5, and it's not just, like, the difference with Phoenix is you have Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And then everybody else on that team, they're all really great role players who need the stars to do their thing. Mm-hmm. I look at Denver right now. They have 4 guys in their starting lineup who could be the best player on some teams. Like even Aaron Gordon, right? Aaron Gordon had the upside other than Vooch of being the best player in Orlando. And for a long time, that's what people expected. And then and Jamal Murray, Jokic, and Michael Porter Jr., like there's not many teams that have that. I mean, who has that? Brooklyn?
Yeah,
obviously Brooklyn on a different level, but it's just really
impressive. It's a series for sure. I mean, I'd lean Lakers, but it's not like the beginning of the year or kind of a month into the season when we're like, this Lakers team healthy is unstoppable.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Well, speaking of Vooch, Chicago's starting
to, let's go there.
They're starting to roll. I guess they won two in a row now since LaVine came back, but Vooch, get worth noting, they beat the Pacers 113-97. No Sabonis, no Brogdon. Pacers, it's not looking good for these guys.
I mean, that's their season in a nutshell. Just one of their best players is always on the shelf. It's crazy. Yeah,
they can't stay healthy, and it's too competitive in the bottom of the East. It just doesn't look like they're going to be what it's them and the Celtics, like another year, just a disappointing seasons for those teams. I mean, if they can't stay healthy, it is what it is.
Yeah.
The Bulls, though, Vooch 32-17. LaVine had 19. They just look good together. They're starting to already starting to flow. And you know, it feels like they are a team who might make a little run here and get back into the playoff picture.
Yeah. And that they lost.
I mean, they're 10 right now. So they're in the play-in as of right now.
So they lost 8 of 9, I think, after that Vooch trade or like right around it, which came at just the worst time, you know. But because of how
LaVine was banged up too.
Yeah. So if they can just get roll, I mean, they need to get hot to kind of like offset that horrible stretch. But I think they're better than the Pacers because of the Pacers' injury issues. And I don't think they're that far off from the Celtics. I really don't. So I definitely don't think the Raptors are going to catch them for this play-in situation. So
I'll say this, they may just be better than the Pacers, period.
By next year. Yeah,
No. I mean right now, like injury wise or not, because look, TJ Warren's out for the year. So we can't even count like Zach LaVine, Vooch, Thaddeus Young, Kobe White. They might be better. They might just be a better team this year.
Yeah, they might, talent wise for sure. I guess they're so new together, right? Yeah. They need time, but yeah, that could change it in a month.
But so are the Pacers. Because they barely ever play together, and now they're working Caris LeVert into that situation.
The Bulls really are crazy talented. I mean, we're not even talking about Markkanen, who people were high. I've always been high on Markkanen. He has a good game. Like, they've got lots of guys that give them punch scoring-wise.
Markkanen, and I think he lost minutes. I mean, I think he only got more minutes tonight because of Daniel Theis didn't play. But, yeah. No, I mean, I think they're a good young team. I think they could potentially play their way into like that 7 or 8.
Me too.
By the end of the year, which doesn't matter because then you still have to win the play-in, but it helps. They only have to win one game.
Let me see their schedule coming up, because I mean, that bad stretch that they had was against a tough schedule. So if it eases up, they could be right back in the thick of that 7-8 seed soon.
Right in the thick. Right.
Got Toronto.
Right back in the thick.
They're going to smoke them. Atlanta's tough. Minnesota, Memphis, Orlando, Memphis.
So, oh, you know what? Are we done talking about this game, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
We got to go back to Denver because forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently at the end of the third quarter, they were blowing out Detroit and the fans were chanting for Bol Bol. And Michael Porter Jr. and Zeke Nnaji, by the way, Zeke Nnaji, a rookie who plays over Bol Bol, were like egging on the fans, like trying to get Bol Bol. Just doesn't play. I can't believe we're at a point in the NBA season, in a world, an NBA world, where Taco Fall is playing meaningful minutes in an NBA game and Bol Bol can't play up 20 with 3 minutes left in the game against the Pistons. It makes no fucking sense to me.
Absolutely a piece of information that we're missing, whether it's health or personal reasons or something weird behind the scenes. It's just bizarre.
I started to try to like investigate. So I was looking to try to see like, what is Michael Malone's history? Was he like around? Was he like an intern for like Manute Bol, and Manute Bol was mean to him? Like I was.
That's good at investigate. That's
I really I was I went to his Wikipedia and I was like, where was he in like the late 90s?
Like, Manute Bol was like a super nice guy though, I thought. Or maybe
from all accounts, like I don't know. I don't know much about him, but I'm just trying to figure out like did like Manute Bol make like a passing joke on Mike Malone once, and Mike Malone never forgot it. So now Bol Bol doesn't get
that is more plausible than Mike Malone genuinely being like, he's not good enough to get in the lineup. It doesn't make any damn sense.
Not good enough to get in up 20 against the third worst team in the NBA, but Vlatko Kankar, which I'm sure I'm saying that name wrong, can play. He can get minutes. Or Marcus Howard, a fucking undrafted kid from Marquette who I don't even know he was in the league. Mm-hmm. Like, those guys are good enough to play, but Bol Bol can't get minutes.
It's insane. And okay, let's say here's a scenario where for whatever reason they have decided Bol Bol's not part of their future, right? Put him in these games to shine and trade him. Like, they're just burying an asset, and it doesn't make any sense.
Well, the only other thing that crossed my mind was this. They are very good. We just got done talking about how they are potentially a championship team.
Mm-hmm.
He's 21 years old. Maybe they look at it like, if we bury him long enough, we can get him cheap when he's up. And then,
that's plausible, but isn't that also the risk of pissing him off unless he's on board with it? Like,
you could say that, but I don't know that he has like anything to, he fell in the draft. So he was a second round pick,
mm-hmm.
and he hasn't played. So he could be mad. Sure. But what team, like, our team's going to be like clamoring to pay him big money? Probably not.
Not big money, but maybe something comparable to what
contract. But what do you like? What's the second at this point? Let's say he was up this year. He's not even getting like, is he getting the mid level? Like, he hasn't played. What has he done that to for anyone? So maybe Denver's like, look, we know this kid's a unicorn. And so maybe when it's up, they give him like a 4-year, $10 million a year deal.
Yeah, that's plausible. I just think, like, the fact that he can't get in a game like this just
seems, makes no sense.
Yeah.
Just put him in the
If I were him, I'd rather go to Sacramento for a year
and go ball to the out. No, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to do that.
Just go somewhere where you're going to get minutes.
And not then, Sacramento. But I get what you're saying. Just not Sacramento.
Somewhere where you could play
yeah.
and then get your contract in 2 years.
Yeah. I just put him in the G League. That's where the whole like hiding him until his contract is up thing is where I land on the, that's where I land on that, because what reason do you have to not have him in a G? They don't have a G League team, so they would have to like send him to another team. Okay. But still, what reason would you have for not wanting this kid to play basketball somewhere?
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
It's either a punishment or
And there's no way. Here's the thing. There's no way you're looking at Vlatko Kankar as one of your future core pieces that he has to get run at the end of a game. So there's something weird at this point. Now it's weird if he can't play in this game and the 100%. Fans are chanting.
There's a mystery there. I'm sure we'll get some more information eventually, but this is not a logical decision anymore.
Yeah. And also, why is JaVale McGee can't play at the end of the game? What are we doing here, guys?
No. JaVale McGee. We like Mike Malone, is it? I love Mike Malone. I think he's a good coach. So what's going on?
Mike Malone, good coach, just not for the people. He's not a man of the people. All he cares about is winning, which is fine. I guess that's what you want as a coach, but he doesn't care about the people.
Yeah. And that's, double-edged sword, I guess.
The only two players on the active roster for the Nuggets that didn't play tonight, JaVale McGee and Bol Bol. Everyone else on the roster played at least a minute.
It's bizarre, man.
Maybe Mike Malone.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Listens to this show and really doesn't like me.
It's getting up there with plausible explanations. We've got two or three.
There's no person, and I'll consider us part of the NBA media because we do a podcast on a well-known network. There's no other person in the NBA media that could be as much of a cheerleader for these two particular players this year than me.
That's valid. Yeah.
Right. And they just suddenly are on the same team and suddenly don't play basketball anymore. Something's up.
Something stinks, man.
Something is. It's.
And it's not Cleo's litter box.
Cleo's
my
cat.
That's my cat. Yeah.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's stop talking about this because it's getting me fired up.
Yeah.
Clippers beat the Blazers by a lot. 133.
Golden State is tied with 7 seconds left, so we should probably monitor that. I don't have it up. But
I have it up.
Okay.
I just saw them. Kelly Oubre just made a free throw.
He's in a great commercial now.
The Auto Trader commercial.
Yeah. Right?
He spells out
Tsunami Poppy. It's fucking hilarious.
I wrote down in my notes here, Kelly Oubre Auto Trader commercial.
I didn't know what company it was, but something about him spelling out Tsunami Poppy and saying spacebar really got me. I thought it was hilarious.
I'll tell you what, good for Auto Trader.
So, yeah.
Because here's the thing. If you're an NBA fan, you know who Kelly Oubre is. If you're not an NBA fan, you're like,
now you know who Kelly Oubre is.
It doesn't matter. Guy. No, but I'm saying it's not like just taking some random NBA player that casual people or non-fans don't know. That's just like some ugly dude. Like you got the best looking NBA player, maybe in NBA history. So even if people don't like NBA basketball, they're like, oh, this guy's obviously
this guy's obviously
an actor. He just looks like he's like from a Hollywood casting call.
It does.
Like, hey, you know what this commercial calls for? Beautiful, light-skinned black man with blonde hair and blue eyes or whatever.
Sign him up.
You know what
I
mean?
He also has like I don't know if it's a scar or something below his eye that just works.
I'm just saying, like, so you could watch that commercial and be like, this guy's an NBA basketball player, or this guy's just a model. Mm-hmm. Like that Auto Trader found
6'8" model, yeah, or 6'7", yeah. Whatever he is.
Yeah, no, I did notice that, and I did write it down in my notes to bring it up. So I'm glad you brought it up too. So Golden State's up one now. Milwaukee has Milwaukee inbounded the ball, almost turned it over. Chris Middleton just got blocked by Wiggins. Game over. Golden State win by one.
Not your best play-by-play, but
yeah, I know, because I was just reacting.
you were so caught up in the Kelly
Oubre. Yeah, I was so caught up. Yeah, that I caught on late. Milwaukee had the ball side out of bounds with 7.7 seconds left. They threw an errant pass to try to get it into Drew. Almost turned it over. DiVincenzo got it back. It ended up with a Middleton three to try to win it, which got blocked by Andrew Wiggins. Pat Connaughton ended up getting an offensive rebound and just couldn't get it, just couldn't score. So Warriors win without Giannis. So
yeah,
doesn't matter.
I think they catch a break there.
Yeah. Again, another one that's like a great win for the Warriors, but they shouldn't, you know, if they're any semblance of what they want to be, they shouldn't barely be beating Milwaukee without Giannis.
Yeah. And for the Bucks, I mean, you don't have Giannis, and then your two next guys step up with 29 for Drew, 28 for Chris Middleton. I don't think you're upset at all if you're a Bucks fan, except for the fact that you don't really know what's going on with his knee. Hopefully it's just soreness.
Yeah. And Drew has been great, particularly when Giannis has been out. He got his extension after the last game Giannis was out when he went off and carried
like a 30-point triple-double or something, right?
By the way, you know who's like a good NBA player, it seems like?
Who?
Giannis's brother. He actually plays for this team.
Yeah, I think I was very hard on him. I'm trying to find his line. Oh, 10 points, 5 boards tonight. Nice.
Like, I don't think he's just on that team because he's Giannis's brother anymore. I think he's actually like earned minutes for them because he's just
his athleticism is nuts.
It's nuts. And he's nonstop. Like, he's all over the place. He's all over the place.
Pretty awesome for him to buy in like that, you know, like he doesn't treat it as like a free ticket and to have a motor like that because he does play super hard.
And he's the older brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, my guess with Giannis with the injury is they're just playing it at, just like every other team. They're locked in. They know they're going to be the top three seed. So why risk it?
Well, no, he was warming up and was like, I can't go. So I think
I think he also probably is like, why risk it? You know?
Yeah.
I think players have that sense that they know, like, you know, but good win for the Warriors because it keeps them in playoff contention.
41 for Steph. Great game for Steph.
And he fell on his back again.
Really? I missed that. That sucks.
Like, it's crazy what he's doing. I know it's, again, another broken record thing. We're at that point in the year, but it does worry me that they're doing all of this work and risking him having an actual real injury just to potentially be an 7 or 8 seed and lose in the first round. Like, is it worth it? There's going to be a point in the year where they're going to see him with one of those falls and be like, God, why are we even playing him?
I guess maybe the rationale, or like to play devil's advocate, you could look at this as like the guys on this roster that they could drag into the playoffs now would be a supporting cast for this final hurrah next year. You know, like, let's get guys like Wiseman and even Kelly Oubre Jr. and guys like that playoff experience.
That would be the argument for not like tanking in a season. I don't know that that's I get what you're saying. I don't know that that's the argument for putting Steph in harm's way potentially.
Right. Well, yeah, if they're doing that, then that's,
well, then I don't know that they're intentionally putting him in harm's way, because ultimately with an injury like this, or any injury that's not a definitive, like torn or sprain or whatever, it's up to the player, because Steph can walk in to the building today and say, I don't feel pain. And how can you dispute it? So if he walks in and says, I feel good, then they're going to play him. It's up to they can't, I don't think they can just shut him down if he says he wants to play.
Right.
But every game, it seems like I see a play where he takes a charge or he goes for a rebound or he drives and he falls and he just grimaces, not in a normal way. I'm just like, is it lingering? Is it worth it for what they're going to do this year? I don't know. I don't know the extent of the injury. It just looks like he's always hurt.
If they're risking him long-term, then short it yet. No, not worth it.
He's also playing his ass off since he got the injury.
So good
stuff. He's so damn good. So I don't know. Whatever.
He's 30. He does not play like 33. He still looks like he's 28 out there. It's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah. Clippers beat the Blazers, which is the one we were going to talk about before the ending of that game. And I texted you. I feel like we always talk about this with the Clippers, but I texted you again during the game and said, is there a team in recent memory or in history that by all accounts is a great basketball team, which is the Clippers? They're the top 3-point shooting team in the league statistically this year. They're a top 3 team or 4 team right now in the West. They have a top 5 player on the planet and another guy who is an all-NBA player. And you just watch them and you're like, this team can't win a title. I don't remember ever feeling that way about a team. And I guess it's probably in a major way based on what happened to them in the playoffs last year.
Definitely. But that's valid. I mean, it's their fault.
But I don't remember a team like this. That's this. I guess maybe we could argue that the Bucks kind of like that.
So I don't think I'm as far with you, and like, they could win a champion. Oh, man, it's hard to say, honestly, but I haven't completely ruled it out, you know, like, just because, mainly because of what Kawhi did to the Sixers 2 years ago. Like, that guy, when he's at his best, is a top 2 player in the league, you know? So for me, it's just about the, it's almost like an attitude where they think they can just flip the switch in the playoffs. And I just think the West is way too tough. So it's not impossible, but it just is bizarre to have the amount of star power and to just be like every night, we're just like, yeah, Clippers, you know, good win, horrible loss, whatever.
Yeah. Boogie played tonight. Seven minutes, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists.
Nice.
They were interviewing Lawrence Frank, and they asked him about picking him up. And he basically said it's because of Serge's injury, which that's is not necessarily a good sign.
That's not good news at all, right? Man, there are a lot of interesting personalities on this team, man. Pat Beverly, Boogie, and Rondo in the same locker room.
With Kawhi Leonard, who we don't actually know. But we don't know. Like, we don't actually know.
Right.
What's he like in the locker room? Yeah. Like, and Paul George.
Yeah. Strange one.
That's a weird. Yeah, weird team. Marcus Morris is also an attitude.
Like, it's a powder keg, dude. It's like.
And then you got a coach who, by all accounts, is sort of a pushover, Ty Lue. Mm-hmm. At least that's what it seems like. I don't know him, and maybe he doesn't deserve that, but just strikes me as a coach, a little bit of a – I don't think he's getting in guys' faces. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't see Ty Lue getting in, like, Rondo's face.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, we know the culture for that was there – man, the Doc Rivers, just seeing what Doc Rivers is doing in Philly now makes that whole thing even weirder, where like all the special treatment for those players.
Imagine trading for Rondo after you fire Doc Rivers. You know, like,
yeah,
it's just so crazy. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like everything combined with this team, I'm just like, this team can't get out of the West.
Mm-hmm.
They can. It's just in my mind, they can't.
Yeah,
and I guess it's the same way I feel about the Bucks. And can the Bucks get out of the East? Yeah, I guess. Do I feel confident that they have a shot at it?
Right, not entirely. Definitely not confident. That is a good question. I don't know who I'm more confident to win their conference, Clippers or Bucks.
That's a good.
I'd probably say Bucks. I really would.
Yeah,
I think I would. Yeah, but that's how low I am on the Clippers. Yeah.
But that also is contingent both sides on the injuries to the best teams in both conferences.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, by the way, we haven't even talked about it. James Harden's out for at least another 10 days now.
Mm-hmm.
KD's supposed to play tomorrow, but Harden's out for at least another 10 days. So,
and that's more time that all three are not playing together, which I think matters.
Yep. Yeah. Rough. I mean, Clippers, 133. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So. All right, last couple games before we wrap it up here. Atlanta, good win. They beat the Pelicans 123-107. This seemed like a lot of people were saying, like, Trae Young. I guess ESPN came out with some rankings, like top players under 25, yeah, and he was ranked pretty low. Everyone's like, yeah, Trae must have seen that. To me, this is like, hey, Nate, maybe don't bench me with 3 minutes left in the game when I'm the best player. And he just went nuts in this game. 30 and 12. This was never really much of a game. I mean, the Pelicans, by the way, I also still don't like Trae Young watching him play. I just don't like watching him play. I know he's talented, but I also have never seen a franchise player who moves less. If he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he stares constantly. He's just staring at the ball.
That's a huge problem for sure.
But, you know, they continue. I mean, they're just playing well. Nate McMillan's got them playing well. This game is more about the Pelicans. They lost Josh Hart. So that's huge. It's probably their best wing defender. He's out for the year, pretty much. Brandon Ingram's been hurt. Zion came back, but this team is just so bad defensively. It is. And I was thinking about it too. Like, we talk about Stan Van Gundy. It's just like a lot of it's on him. But also, I can't imagine that Stan Van Gundy has just totally forgotten how to coach defense. So they have to be looking at themselves internally, like, is it the roster? Because they are just so, so bad defensively. It's hard to watch, man.
The Pelicans games I have watched, it's not like striking in terms of effort. Like, Zion always looks like he's trying hard on defense. He's just not good at it. Same with Ingram. Lonzo Ball's a good defender. It is really strange. They might be one of the hardest teams to pin down in terms of what exactly is wrong there. Because I don't know.
Well, it's been there. I do think that a big part of it is Steven Adams. It's hard in the NBA to play that drop defense and pick and rolls the way they have to with him because he's so unathletic. Because when the big drops and pick and rolls, guards are just going to attack him, which leaves the roller or whoever the other big is wide open to do whatever they're going to do, which means there's rotations, right? They can't switch, which is what a lot of teams do now to avoid having to do all that rotating. Once you start rotating multiple times, eventually someone is going to be open on an NBA team where like everyone can shoot. So I do think Steven Adams is a big part of the problem. And they still play him a ton.
Wow.
He's not at this point fast enough to play to drop in pick and rolls or even guard pick and rolls and recover to his man without there having to be some type of help, which causes everyone to have to rotate. It's tough.
Yeah. That's the sort of the way you view the game that I don't exactly see, like just because mm-hmm. you know, with the X's and O's and your background. But that's interesting. And it's also interesting that they've stuck with it for that long. Like at this point, it's crystal clear it doesn't work. Steven Adams isn't really a part of your future. Like, try something else, man. Which you've been saying all year.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't the game to do it because Ingram's out.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. They're playing guys I've never even heard of at this point. Isaiah Thomas debuted for them tonight.
Oh, yeah. It's good to see. I always liked him.
Took 13, 4 of 13.
Classic.
But yeah, I mean, but that's again, like that is speaks to the issues that this team has is that you're one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA and you brought in Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. What the hell?
You know, like there's gotta be other guys that you could have brought in that would make more sense for the struggles that your team doesn't struggle to score, which is literally the only thing Isaiah Thomas has ever done in the league.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be other guys out there. There's got to be a guy just sitting in the G League that could come in and give you like just crazy effort trying to get a contract and play some defense.
That one seems almost like a favor. So who represents Isaiah Thomas? Honestly, that is a great point because maybe they're just trying to build rapport with his agent or something.
And the only thing is like they traded JJ and they traded Melly so that they move. You have to, there's a minimum roster spots. By Thursday, every team has to have a minimum of like 14 players on their roster. So teams are all signing players to this. So maybe this was like a filler spot, but also they need someone to replace Josh Hart. That's not the guy.
Yeah. Not even close. Yeah.
So it's a weird signing, but I guess it's good for him. Good for him to get back in the league. If he's taking 13 shots, your team's going to be bad.
Yes. Where are the Hawks in the standings now? Because they're the 4 seed now, which is
it's crazy.
The East is jammed up, but they really are playing well.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's just shocking to me that the climb that they've made to this 4 seed.
It's the coaching change.
He has to get votes. He 100% has to get votes for Coach of the Year.
I mean, I think he's got to. I would say he's the favorite right now.
Should be.
I know a lot of people are still going to look at Quinn Snyder and Monty Williams deserves it. And
Doc.
I think Doc deserves it too. But man, yeah, this team, I mean, before All-Star break wasn't even a playoff team. They were so bad. They're near the bottom of the East.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just completely changed since Nate. And it's not, and again, they're still not healthy. John Collins still not playing. DeAndre Hunter still not. So they're still playing. Like all the issues that I harped on and we harped on for when Lloyd Pierce got fired, which was, they haven't been healthy. Their best players aren't playing. It's the same shit with Nate McMillan. They're still winning games.
Yep. That's it. Yeah. That means they upgraded coaching. Like that's a coach of the year candidate. No doubt.
Yeah. Last game of the night was Lakers Raptors. Raptors. Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet didn't play. So they already stink and they got beat pretty bad in this one. The 9 points, the Lakers win 110-109 doesn't really indicate like the Lakers were pretty much killing them all game. I guess the notable thing from this game was the ejection, right?
That was one of the stranger plays of the year.
Do you have like a better grasp on it? Because I watched it because I just don't remember the it was Schroeder, right?
So yeah, OG Anunoby. I actually can't even remember who was on offense and who was on defense.
Schroeder went in for like a layup.
Right, and they got tangled up. And
OG Anunoby fouled him. Or was it OG Anunoby went in for a layup?
I think that was it. Anyway, somebody attempts a layup.
I'm going to try to find it on Twitter.
And they're like kind of both on the ground a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then OG Anunoby, like it almost looked like a very quick, like little fit of anger, picked up Schroeder's leg and like it looked like a body slam. But he was immediately like let his hands go and was like trying to help him up. So it looked like just this split second weird decision. And then Trez gets in there and he's barking at Gary Trent and they have the three ejections, but it really looked like,
but the ejections didn't make sense totally. Okay. So here's what it was. Mute this audio.
To me, the instigator was Anunoby doing something bizarre.
Okay. So it was OG in transition. Schroeder fouled him hard. And then I don't know. Yeah, I guess it looked like OG maybe wasn't happy about the foul because then he immediately grabs his leg and then just drops him.
But then right after that, he's like got his hands up like he didn't do anything. That's the weirdest part
to me. Yeah. And then Trez comes in to like protect him and then all three got ejected.
I think the ejections like Trez and that were probably for stuff that was said or shoves and stuff like that.
I don't understand how Dennis Schroeder could possibly get ejected for that.
Yeah, unless he did something.
I bet you they rescind something here. Mm-hmm. There's no way Dennis Schroeder should be ejected for that. Unless they called it like a flagrant two or something, but it wasn't that bad.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
I mean,
to me, Anunoby was actually, the one I was
it wasn't
like,
even bad at all.
I know.
I mean, he fouled him, but it wasn't that bad. That's a weird situation.
Do you have the slow-mo? That's the one where Anunoby just quickly just grabs his leg for no reason and flips him. And then shit hits the fan.
Yeah, I think you're right, dude. I think it was just like a momentary lapse where he was like, didn't know where he was.
Yeah. Really weird.
But then like Trez comes in. And then you could even see afterwards, like Trez is like patting Aaron Baines on the butt. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. It's all good. I'm just protecting my guy.
Right.
What very so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess they asked Trez after the game, like he said something like they were like, who was your beat? He was like, I don't understand the ejections. And then I guess they asked him who his beef was with, like, or something. He said, my beef was with anybody who wasn't wearing a Lakers jersey or something like that.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. But that was a strange, the whole thing was strange. OG should get ejected from that game. The other guy should. Right. You want to give out text, that's fine. But getting ejected is crazy.
Yeah. I was just assuming the Lakers ejections came from the scrum afterward. But it does make me think, I mean, I don't really think one way or the other about OG Anunoby up to this point. And then that move was like a red flag for me. Like that was just, it looked like a shitty move by a guy I don't know much about. So
yeah. But the Lakers, I tell you, every team above the Lakers loves this. Any win for the Lakers right now is a feel good win for any mm-hmm. team above the Lakers. I feel like if you're any of the top teams in the league, you're like, God, or in the West, you're like, God, I hope the Lakers go on a run here and get back into the top three.
Yeah, because you know how good they are. It doesn't matter really with seeding. You don't want to play the Lakers regardless.
Right. Yep. Any of those teams. Now, 4 or 5 doesn't matter. But if you're any of those teams, you're like, God, please just get back. Like, if you're the Nuggets, you'd rather be the 4 seed and play the Clippers in the first round than have to be the 3 seed and play a 6 seed. You'd rather the Lakers just play their way up back into that top three.
Mm-hmm.
So win.
We don't think they're going to as long as LeBron's out. Because it's just a bunch of role players. Basically, yeah.
This is funny. Dude said, That's just a good, clean, single leg takedown from OG. Work on your takedown defense, Schroeder.
This is what it looks like.
It was a good, it was good. It's a good single leg. All right. I think that's it for tonight. Did we miss it? Oh, I didn't mention Zion now has 24 straight games with 25 plus points and 50% from the field.
That is significant.
The leader is the all-time leader, Shaq, with 25.
Wow.
So
good company.
And I also saw he's on pace to be the second player ever to average 25 a game on 60% from the field.
Do you want to send your $100 over now or just wait down the road?
They suck, dude. Let's see him do it on a good team.
No, I'm just saying.
Anything to say to that?
I just think he's trending toward top five MVP candidate at some point.
He's got to do it on a good team. He'll never be trending. He'll never get that if he's not, if his team stinks.
Well, he's in company with Shaq, so I'm feeling good, basically.
He's in company with a lot of Hall of Famers. I bet you if you go back to like Carl Anthony Towns' first year in the league, first couple of years, there was a whole bunch of like first player to do this since this guy or Boogie. Like these type of stats come out when these guys put up crazy numbers. But then if they're on losing teams, you forget who they are within a couple. I'm not saying it's going to happen with Zion, but like I remember.
I just like to reference this bet anytime that I can.
I know, but I remember when Kat first got in the league. And I was like producing shows and I was like, Kat's the first player to do this and shoot this from the three and this and that. And it's just like historic early career stats, but they were fucking terrible and they're still terrible. So it's like, you know, do it on a good team. That's all I'm saying. Do it on a good team.
I'm looking at it. He has such a strangely shaped head. His face is so small. I don't know what it is. I'm on his player page. That's why I brought it up.
Shaq had the only moment of the entire year that actually was entertaining from Shaq. And it was an accident. Candace Parker was talking about how, I think she was saying like how no one has a chance to beat Brooklyn in the East. And they were talking about Philly. And I think she was kind of referencing like how Ben Simmons can't shoot and how that's going to hurt them.
Mm-hmm. Good analysis.
And, yeah. Sorry. She's actually very good.
I know. I like her a lot.
Shaq was like, I don't understand this. You know, if you look at the history of the game, Avery Johnson couldn't shoot, but had to do everything else right to lead that team. I think I couldn't see how they were looking at him, but I'm sure they're like fucking Avery Johnson. What are we talking about? And he's like Rajon Rondo. Same thing. He just let Paul Pierce. And then before he could even get Paul Pierce's name out, he just started dying laughing.
I still didn't watch it on Twitter, but it sounds pretty good.
It was just hilarious to me because obviously he's laughing because Paul Pierce got fired yesterday. Mm-hmm. But it was just really funny. And then he's just like looking over at D Wade and I don't even know if he finished his thought because he just started laughing. Shaq just can't help himself. And it's just a sign of continuously how he doesn't watch games or watch any basketball because like they were talking about Wiseman at halftime of the Warriors game. And he's like, look at what this kid does all the same things that David Lee and Andrew Bogut did for this team when they won a championship.
Oh my God, bro. Oh my God. That's really bad.
Can you just give me a comparison from the last 2 years or something? he's brutal.
I don't like
him. We got to figure out, like, get him out of there, get Kendrick Perkins out, let's find some replacements for these guys because these guys all stink, man.
I feel like people really like those two. Well, the casuals do.
I think a lot of people have turned on Shaq this season.
Really?
Because he doesn't watch basketball.
Right.
I think there's a lot of people who are like us, where it's like, okay, you can have one guy on there, Charles Barkley, who doesn't watch basketball, but having two guys that don't watch basketball and one guy who's clearly just not as funny or talented as the other guy. It's just obnoxious.
Yeah. It's not a good recipe.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's it.
It's a good show. good show, and we're getting there. We are so close to these playoffs. Well, actually, no, we're not that close, but a month away, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
We're close. Yeah. All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Later.
Later.